They blend pretty well. That's pretty good. I'm trying to figure out what's on here. All right. I saw something shine on there. Make sure it wasn't losing one of their diamonds or something crazy here, but we're all right. We're good. Good. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that very, very much. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to try to get through as much of this as we can. I started this message going for a certain point, and we're still going to go there. But in the midst of this message, we also end up dealing with some things that are, I hate to use controversial, but it sort of is, amongst the, if I use their good neo-evangelical faith community, those who, and I, by the way, you know the old story that these guys went to heaven and St. Peter was showing them all these different rooms and so forth, and they said, well, what's this room? That's where the Presbyterians are, and over here, that's where the Methodists are, and that's where this are, and they said, shh, and we walked past it. Why did we go past it so quiet? So that's the Baptists. They think they're the only ones that are here. Now, fact is, probably all of us, all of them to a certain extent, think that they're the only ones here. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, paid for all your sins, and you're trusting that and that alone, you're going to heaven. Now, there's a lot of things that we get mixed up, and the fact is, as crazy it sounds, that I don't understand how anybody, and don't get mad at me, but I can't understand how somebody can be saved and stay in some of these denominations. I just don't understand. But I know that it happens. I know my mom and dad never left the little dead church I grew up in. But they were saved. I mean, when he crossed over Jordan, he didn't cross over alone, just like the choir was singing. There's no doubt in my mind about my mom's salvation. I know some folks that are in a Catholic church. I don't understand why they're there, but they're there. And anyway, there's some things that we got to be careful that we don't swing a pendulum and then confuse ourselves. And so, you know how the best way to fix that is to go to the Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell in you, the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. We ought to know the Word of God. And the fact is, if we knew the Word of God, it would solve a lot of issues. It clarifies a lot of gray areas. And so when the early church met, they often simply read the letters from the apostles, such as 1 Corinthians. It was a letter written by Paul to the church in Corinth. In Acts 2, it says that they were daily in the apostles' doctrines. So they were reading these letters, then they pass them around. The epistles, the letters, were written to be read to the churches. And too often we take bits and pieces of these letters and extract them from the context. And if we're not careful, we soon go off on a tangent. We find ourselves down some rabbit trail that the letter never intended us to travel. And the passage that we're in here is one of those passages that actually people have used to actually go the opposite direction with. False doctrines arise, and even whole denominations have been started on incorrect interpretations of the Word of God. Well, how do you know? Let the Word of God interpret itself. You read it, and a lot of times, in fact, just the way the King James is written, a lot of times it says something and then it reiterates that. You say, by the way, sometimes don't let that confuse you, because sometimes it'll rephrase it and kind of answers your question right as you're going along. But we need to know the Word of God. And so there are people, though, and whole denominations that have been known to fight against clear doctrines of the Bible because of some experience that they have, and they've misunderstood it to be the revelation of God. Now, that's a big deal. Not infrequently, some person has had some kind of experience, whether natural, or demonic, and they interpret the experience as revelation from God and set the doctrine that they think has been taught through this experience above the written Word of God. And yet, we are not to add or subtract from the Word of God. Now, in light of that, I'm going to read a lot of Scripture tonight. We're Bible believers, right? We're here to understand the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So I'm going to read somewhat extensively in some portions. We'll see how far we go. But this is a letter written by Paul to the church of Corinth. Now, the church in Corinth had taken a manifestation of God, which was good and profitable, and had distorted it until it became a priority and a fundamental doctrine. In their eyes, this one manifestation gift among many was seen as a requirement for salvation. If this one sign was not present in a person's life, then they must not have the Spirit of God. And then they inserted the truth that if you're not indwelt by the Spirit of God, you're not His at all. Well, that part is true. Now, we've been studying the work of the Holy Spirit during the morning service. And whenever the work of the Holy Spirit comes up, misconceptions tend to raise their heads as well. Problems arise, contention happens, which is just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit brings to the table. Contention comes by pride. Contention is a result of pride, and pride is a result of sin. And where sin is working, the Holy Spirit is not in on it. So if you end up with a lot of contention about this issue, the Holy Spirit is not working here. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, patience, long-suffering. It's not contention. And in the Corinth church, the work of the Holy Spirit had become a bone of contention. And Paul rebukes them and says, "Are ye not carnal?" Because there was a lot of things they were doing. They were saying, "Well, I'm a Paul, and I'm a Apollos, I'm a Peter," and all this. And there's a lot of contention. They get together and have the Lord's Supper, and they wanted to see who had the best meal. I mean, it just wasn't a good thing going on there. And now, the gifts of the Spirit are manifestations, they're showing of God in the lives of Christians. Let me say that again, because it's an important point I want you to know. The gifts of the Spirit, what God does in the life of a Christian, He manifests Himself in many different ways. Now, that is a manifestation of God. Now, sin is not a manifestation of God. Okay? Love is a manifestation of God because God is love. Now, I know I talk about this a lot, but the fact is, if we had love for Him and for one another, you realize we wouldn't have all this problem? That's really where it is, because on those two laws hang all the law and the prophets. So love is a manifestation of God. I want to take a few minutes tonight to reinforce the doctrines concerning the gifts of the Spirit and the signs of the moving of God. And we're going to deal with the topic of tongues as well, but that's really not really what I wanted to do, but we're going to deal with it. And then we're going to deal with what I think God calls the ultimate sign gift. The ultimate sign gift. Let me give you number one here this evening. I guess I should read my scripture, shouldn't I? Let's do that real quick here. First, 1 Corinthians 12, and let me read a couple verses here. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing to the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Now jump to the end of the chapter. Verse number 29. He just said he divides the gifts up as he needs, severally as he will. Verse 29. "Are all apostles?" How many apostles do we have in here? None, because the apostles were there to write the word of God. They were the ones who saw the risen Christ. Okay? Now, it says, "Are all apostles?" No. "Are all prophets?" No. "Are all teachers?" Well, there may be a few in here. Are all workers of miracles? Not anymore, probably. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity. The word charity is the word agape, love. They use the word charity instead of using the word love because it's talking about love in action. You've heard me say this. If you give something to charity, what do you expect back? That's what true love. True love gives expecting nothing back. True love wouldn't stop when it's not requited. When you don't get anything back, love doesn't stop. Because love wasn't about getting, love was about giving. We can say we love our spouse, but the fact is, well, he don't treat me well. I'll tell you what, well, that's not love. That's like. And I'll like them as long as I like them. But that love thing, that's kind of hard. Well, love is of God, right? In fact, sometimes you see somebody love in spite of what they've done. When Jesus was on the cross and he nailed him to the cross and they got him up, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's love. He says, if I can do all these things and I don't have love, I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, love, unconditional love, it profiteth me nothing. And let's pray. And my topic here is the ultimate sign gift of God. The ultimate sign gift of God. Father, thank you for some time together here this evening. Teach us your word. Give us what we need here. We ask for your spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Number one, the gifts of the Spirit are signs of the presence and the working of God. Now get that statement down. Understand that. The gifts of the Spirit are signs of the presence and the working of God. They are not something in and of themselves. They're not always there. Why aren't they always there? Because God uses them to show His presence for a specific need, a purpose. Now, if you're fast with your Bible, hang tight with me and grab a hold. Here we go. John 14, which is the night before Jesus Christ is going to be crucified. John 14, 6. And you know the first part of John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way I go, you know. And Thomas said, we know not the way. And Jesus said in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now this little passage, he's trying to tell them who he is. Now watch. Sometimes we're so hard-headed. That's what was going on here. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one go unto the Father but by me. Verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, from now on, ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. It sufficeth us. And Jesus says, now Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He says, can't you just tell by what I was saying? Can you not tell by the way I treated people? Can you not tell by the way I touched that leper and healed him? Can you not tell that I'm God? There is, you know, and so in verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak that I unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. If you can't tell by my word, watch. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. The miracles, the healings, raising from the dead, feeding the 5,000, all those things were signs of who he is and where he's from. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, why is it because, why will we be able to do greater works? Because it goes to the Father. He said, if I go to the Father, it's expedient I go to the Father, because then I will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, down, and he will do works in you. He says, you'll do greater works than I've done. And if not just greater, more of them, because everybody will have the presence of God in their life. He says, you should be able to tell that I was of God because of what I have done, and people are going to be able to tell that you're of God because what you will have done. You see what I'm saying? So those miracles, these workings, are to show God's presence in a person's life. You want to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 17. There are signs and wonders accompanying the filling of the Spirit in order to see folks get saved. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "And it shall come to pass," of course it's quoting Joel 2, "in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath." Jump down to verse 21. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What's all the signs and the visions and the wonders and this, and all this going on? He says that's for you to, that shows you that the power of God is on the situation. And why is the power of God on the situation? So that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why it's for. But the fact is, it's not about the gifts. It's not about the healings. It's not about the tongues. It's not about the miracles. It's not about those things. Those are simply to show that God's presence is there. We get all hung up on the gifts instead of the giver. That's the one we're trying to get a hold of. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. You're right there. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul." Watch. "And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Why were they? They were signs. The sign is not the real thing. I mean, it was a real manifestation of God's power, but it's not really the purpose. The purpose is to show God's presence, to bring others to Christ. Look at chapter 5, verse of Acts, verse 9. Chapter 5. I know I'm going to hit a bunch, but I want you to realize this is the point. These gifts are here to bring others to Christ. That's what they're for. And by the way, if they stop bringing folks to Christ, or they start inhibiting bringing folks to Christ, they start distract us from the main thing of bringing folks to Christ, then God gets rid of them. If they're no longer fulfilling the purpose, then we don't need them, because those aren't the real thing. See, people go to church because they want to get a feeling. They want chills go up and down their back and all this stuff. That's not the point. Acts 5:9 says, "Then Peter said unto her, How is it ye have agreed together to tempt the Holy..." This is Ananias and Sapphira. And they lied to the Holy Spirit, okay? And they said they sold their land for so much, and they really didn't sell for that much, but they pretended because they want everybody to pat them on the back like Barnabas. And so that's where we are. He says, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." So she lied, and they said, and then the Holy Spirit said, "Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst no man join himself with them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. There were signs. There were amazing things happening. They didn't have the word of God as we had. So God was going to show himself very in a more physical way, if you will, even though it's a spiritual thing, it's a physical way for them to know who God is. And why? Because they wanted to see the presence of God on their life. Why they wanted to have the presence of God? They wanted to see the presence of God so when they wrote this book, you know that's the man who wrote the words from God. And if it's from God, I can trust it. There was validating who these people were. Peter and John were able to heal to show they were continuing the ministry of Jesus. You go to Acts chapter 3. They were healing. The man at the temple called Beautiful says, "Well, I don't have any money, but what I do have." And so they were seen. I don't know if I can take the time, or you go back and read Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, and it talks about how that they were given the power of God. The Gentiles were given a manifestation of the Spirit of God to show that they could be saved just as the Jews could be saved. You go to Acts chapter 11, and we have the story of Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian band. And he was a devout man. And God sent an angel and said, "Tell you what, you go get Peter from up in Joppa and have him come down, and he'll tell you everything you need." And so, meantime, while he's setting people, God is teaching Peter that Gentiles can get saved. You know, he brought all these things down you're not supposed to eat, you know. And I'm so glad he did. The shrimp and the crab and all that stuff is on there. And the bacon and all these things that you're not supposed to eat came down on here. And he says, "Take it, eat. Don't call unclean that which I've cleansed." And so they got to hear the knock on the door. And they said, "Well, we need to come down here." Well, there's a bunch of Gentiles. Well, they went down there, and sure enough, Cornelius had got the whole house full of all his people, and there they were, all his family, and Peter gave them the gospel, and they got saved. When they got saved, they spoke with tongues. Why? I'll tell you why. In Acts 11, 17, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" He stood before the folks, the council in Jerusalem, and said, "You had no business taking the gospel down there to a bunch of dirty Gentiles." And he said, "Well, but God cleansed them." Well, I gave them the gospel, and you know what? They got the exact same thing we got on Pentecost. Oh. Well, I guess that means God's no respecter of persons. What was the gift of tongues needed for there? To show that the same gospel that saves Jews saves Gentiles. For the same Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, the same Lord over all is rich in all who call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul had signs and wonders in order to see many folks saved. In Romans 15, 18, it says this, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through mighty signs," it's Paul talking, "mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." 2 Corinthians 12, 12 says, "Truly the signs of an apostle, the sent ones, were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." And that, now listen to this, Hebrews 2, 3. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will." Now, they can't get any clearer than that. What are the signs and the wonders for? Be honest with you, sometimes it's not the best thing for us to get healed. Sometimes the best thing for us is to go to heaven. You know, it's not always God's will for us to be healed. If it was, nobody would ever die. And if nobody ever died, then they would stay in this sinful world forever. You know what? I don't want to stay in this sinful body, in this sinful world forever. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. There's a better land beyond the blue. Sign gifts were given to the early church to show that the power of God was resting in them. And that was good. It approached the topic in a very, I hate to use the word carnal, but a physical manner, because that was where their minds were focused. In 1 Corinthians 14:22, it says this. This is the same passage, 14:22. It says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesy, preaching, serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Now what do they say? It says the tongues are for a sign. That's its purpose. Not to them that believe, not to us, but to those who don't believe, to show that God's presence is there. So listen, number one, get this in your mind. These gifts of the Spirit were there as signs to show the manifestation of the Spirit of God, to show God's presence. That's what they're for. Now don't lose that. Because some people almost get wrapped up in some of these gifts, and all they do is help our temporal world. That's not what they were for. They're here to draw us to Christ so they will come to it for an eternal purpose. Number two, the Spirit of God manifests Himself in the lives of Christians in many ways. The Spirit of God manifests Himself in the lives of Christians in many ways. Not everybody's supposed to be the preacher. As long-winded as I am, what if God made you a preacher? We'd never leave. Because we'd all be preaching. We'd be here forever. But on the other hand, I can't do everything I do today and also do what they did here at the JM Club today. It would wear me out. Can't do it all. You might be able to do it once or twice. We can't do it all the time, week after week after week. I can't do what I do and also keep the place clean. I can't do what I do and also teach kids club. I can't do what I do and also teach the kindergarten Sunday school. I can't do it. We're all part of the body, and that's the way God designed it. And He gives us these gifts to do the work of God. And by the way, I don't have that ability. Maybe He can give you that ability. Now, there are a multitude of ways in which the Holy Spirit shows Himself in the lives of Christians. Watch me. No Christian manifests all of these gifts. But every Christian should manifest some of these gifts because they're there and He's given it to us. The gifts may increase in number as the years pass, depending on what is needed in the ministry. This could have seemed silly, but I remember when I became the music director down at Church Open Door Westminster, that the other music director that was there, he could accompany people on special music. I was no piano player. So help me. Now, I'm still not much of a piano player, but I couldn't do it at all. I know it sounds crazy. I had studied music, so I knew what I was doing, but the fact is, getting it from the page to here to my fingers, there's a short circuit somewhere in there. I know, there's a lot of short circuits in there, but I couldn't do it. When I became the music director, for some reason, I know it sounds crazy, but somehow I could get you through a piece of special music. It's not great. I kind of bang in key, but I could do it. I'm known as a music man down there, not as a preacher. And maybe I'm known as a music man, not a preacher here too. But the fact is, I get to pastor a church. I couldn't do that 15 years ago. I really don't think I could have done it. God has enabled me to do some things that I otherwise was not able to do. Now, God distributes the gifts out among the members of the church in order to fulfill all the needs and to make us need each other. You know what that does? It keeps away pride and also keeps away division. If you're right there, 1 Corinthians 12:25 says, and there should be no, he's talking about, he's given all these different, skills. He says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now let me walk back here, go back to chapter 12, and I'm going to show you some things. I'm trying not to get bogged down in here, but I want you to see some things. Remember first, the gifts are signs to show that God's there. Now, if you try to make it up, it's not going to do what it's supposed to do because God's not there. I love you, and the Bible says, we're going to read it here in a few minutes, love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Okay? So that's what we got. If I love you, I got to tell you the truth. I know I have had, I don't know, probably a dozen different people tell me over the years that they went to a certain denomination, they wanted them to speak in tongues, and so they took them aside and tried to teach them how to speak in tongues. Now, I'm not saying that God can't do that. He did it. He did it. So that's just it. Don't throw it all out. He did do it. But we don't all have to do it. And in fact, we'll see here in a little bit while, the tongues, they shall cease. Now, the fact is, if you have to teach them to do it, then it wasn't God. At Acts chapter 2, they were praying when the Holy Spirit came on and they spoke with other tongues. They weren't having language courses. They weren't having a Spanish class. There's nothing wrong with those things, and God may enhance your ability and use a class to do it, and he may do that. But when they did that stuff, that was something that came on them. It wasn't something they worked up. So we have to realize that there's some things that God does do. Now, go back to chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Why is that a problem? He says, we don't know what we're talking about, and it's getting us into trouble. That's what he's saying. Now he says, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. He says, you grew up in this mess. And I understand that. So there's some things you need to understand. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And so right there, just saying God works in you to say that he's Lord. You know, it's kind of like old Fonzie saying I was wrong. You know, remember the old things? It's hard to come out. It's hard to say Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and kings of kings. I tell you, people, if they know what they're talking about and they don't believe it, it's hard to get that out. Now look at verse 4 now. Watch this. Now there are diversities of gifts. That word gifts means qualifications. He says there are diversity of qualifications, things that God puts you to qualify you to do certain things, but the same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives one person certain qualifications and another person certain qualifications. And really in this particular moment, he's talking about different supernatural movings of the Spirit that shows God's presence and power. It may be healing. It may be tongues. It may be a gift of knowledge. All of a sudden he's able to understand some things, whatever it may be. But those are what we call manifestation gifts. In other words, this is who I am, is showing God's presence. Look at verse 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Those administrations are, you kind of say positions, but they're different ways of thinking. I call these are the motivational gifts. These are different perspectives on the needs and approach to meet those needs. We did a gift of gifts of the Spirit some time ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And you've got the prophet, and you've got mercy, and you've got teachers, and you've got helps, and you see the job, and you look at the need differently. And we'll get into that right now. But we need all those different people. Number 6, it says, there are diversities of operations, but in the same God which worketh all in all. Those are ministry gifts. In other words, they needed apostles at one time. We needed prophets at one time. Now we have pastors. We have evangelists. We have pastor teachers. We have positions within the church. And those are just a few of those. And so we have manifestations, shows God's presence. That's what they're there for. We have motivational. It still shows God's presence, but a little more subtle. We have the ministry gifts. Again, it gives them the ability to do certain things within the body of Christ. God gifts all these things to show us. And then I'm going to give you one more. They don't usually do this, but I call them manners gifts. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Changes your manners, the Holy Spirit does. So, now, the first thing is, the gifts of Spirit are there to show God's presence. Number two, the Spirit of God manifests in the lives of Christians in many ways. What you have may not be what they have. Now look what it says here. It says here in verse 8, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing, to the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. So we've got all these different things. And then at the end, we read it. It says, are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles? No! Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all have the gift of tongues or to interpret? No! We don't all have the same gift. So don't judge somebody else because they can't do what you do. And by the way, don't judge yourself and deem yourself insufficient or deficient because you don't have the gift that somebody else has. Listen, we're all part of the body of Christ. In fact, you go back to that passage there in the middle in 12. It says here, all right, for the body is not one member but many, verse 14. In fact, go back to verse 13. It says, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, whether we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 15 says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not at the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Can you imagine? You don't do what I do, so you're not really spiritual. I've seen churches, and we've got to be careful with this. I've seen churches where certain ministries became pumped up, and it's the main thing, and if you weren't part of that ministry, you must not be spiritual. I have a guy, and I know he means well. The Bible says we should take the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that's true, and they did. But this particular guy says, well, do you have a ministry to the Jews in your area? Well, not specifically. We're going out into all the world preaching the gospel to every creature. Well, then you're not scriptural. It was a good place, a good church, and he said, you're not doing it right because you're supposed to go to the Jew first. Well, what if there's no Jews here? What if I was in the middle of Wyoming someplace and there's only 1,500 people in the whole town and they all came from Ireland? Could I not be in the ministry? No. You see what I'm saying? And so we'll do the same thing. Well, you don't have my gift. You mean you can't pray and get somebody healed? Well, no, I can't. But I can pray and God can heal him if he wants to. You know, there's different things that God, so we have these different gifts, but he says we don't all have the same gift. Now, number three, the signs and wonders are fine, but there is even a better way to manifest who God is. The gifts are all fine. That's what they're there for, to show God's presence. But the fact is, there's a better way. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. But wait a minute. What's the greatest commandment? Love what? Love God supremely, with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and the second is like unto it. So Jesus came to fulfill the law, and all the law and the prophets hang on those two. So the fact is, if you want to show God, show his love. Now the fact is, if I get so obstinate and say, well, you've got to have a certain gift, what's the matter with you? That's not very loving. I'm trying to get them to show a manifestation rather than really the character of God. What a manifestation. That was the character of God. Paul, listen, Paul said there is an even better way to show that God is in us. You may have a particular gift such as tongues, and God allows you to keep that gift, though it may not be needed at the moment. Romans 11, 29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What am I saying is this? God gave, in those early days, God gave them a gift of tongues. And that, why? Because they needed to be able to present the gospel in many different languages. They didn't have a little thing there on their phone that automatically translates. They didn't have a school they'd go to and learn these languages. If they were going to take it out, God was going to have to do something supernatural. He was going to have to transcend the problem and get the gospel out. So he was giving them the gift of tongues. Now the fact is, once that got going and they got into all those different parts of the world, there's people there now who know it, who speak the tongue. Now it's not as necessary. But he didn't take the gift away from the person. And what happened in the book of the first Corinthians here, that in this letter, the church was having trouble because these people said, well, I got the gift of tongues and I don't need it anymore, so I'm going to use it in church. And so they pop up in the middle of the church and they start going on with something, but there isn't anybody there that understands. Well, what good is that? That you will see that in chapter 14. Now look with me. God may not continue to give you certain gifts to as many people as the years go by, because certain gifts may not be as necessary as they once were. So by natural attrition, certain gifts may become less and less common and more rare until you hardly see them at all anymore. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. There should be tongues, they shall cease. There should be knowledge, it shall vanish away. He says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect, the mature thing, has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So what's he saying? In chapter 12, the end of the chapter, verse 31, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Verse 1 of 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. He said, I can speak in tongues, and everybody can be real impressed. But what have I accomplished? A pat on the back. In fact, he says, I can have that gift and do a lot of great things with it, or I can have that gift and actually drive people away from God. Having been a musician all my life, there's a very fine line between praise and performance. Singing in a way that praises the Lord and gives and lets everybody see the Lord, and being a performance where everybody sees the performer. When you get finished singing, I know, you know, a lot of people say, wow, it was really good. But the fact is, I feel better when folks will say, you know, not, oh, what a singer, but oh, what a savior. That's one of the reasons why I sing a lot of times the way I do. Because, a lot of times I'll say, well, when you sing, you kind of tell the story, don't you? You kind of sing in a way that you can understand the word, you tell the story. And the reason I do that is because I don't want them to hear Sterling. I want them to hear the story. I want them to hear what God had to say for that. That's the purpose. See, the purpose is not having music. Do you realize we don't have music in the church so that you have some place to express your gift? That's not why we do it. The purpose of our music is not entertainment. That's why we approach this whole, all the thing differently than a lot of other people approach it. Because this is not the pregame show. It's not about the music. It's about the master. Not about the singing, it's about the Savior. And we have to realize the same thing with these gifts. Whatever that gift may be, he didn't list, these aren't necessarily exhaustive. Whatever that gift may be, what God is giving you, the purpose is to bring others to Christ. And the fact is, they're going to be able to say, how can that person do that? I didn't know they could do that. Look at that. Boy, they're better than I thought they were. Who would have ever thought? And it's not to get a pat on the back, but to say, God must have been on that one. God must have been in on that one. There's a better way. Listen, God is not tongues, though God transcends all languages. God is not great mysteries, though we do not understand all that God is. God is not just all about miracles, though God can do the impossible. God is not just compassion, though his mercies endure forever. God is not just a sacrifice, though there is no greater sacrifice than when God gave his son for sinners. God is love, and when someone truly loves fully and unconditionally, that is God showing himself through that person. When somebody comes down on you and gives you a hard time and you just about had it, what an opportunity. The door is thrown wide open. Show them God through love. What's it say in chapter 13, verse 4? Charity suffereth long. It suffereth, puts up with it long, and is kind. It just doesn't grit its teeth and say, I'm going to get through the day. It's kind. He says, evil may rise, but overcome evil with good. Soft answer turneth away wrath. Watch this. Verse 4. Charity, love, envieth not. It's not upset that somebody got the promotion over you. Somebody got the bigger piece of pie. Somebody else got some kind of recognition and I didn't. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doesn't throw itself forward, tell everybody how great they are. Doth not behave itself unseemly. What's that mean? Well, it's just kind of an attitude. Mean, nasty maybe. Kind of sarcastic. Anything that's not fitting. Seeketh not her own. Is not worried about themselves, but listen. Is not easily provoked. How short your fuse? How quick can people get under your skin? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. It's in his hand. It's not my hand. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never faileth. Love like this is not normal. People may even think you're a little crazy. They may think you're a little tweaked in the brain, because why aren't you upset about this? Because it's not, I don't need to be upset. God, it's in God's hands. He knows. My job is to do right and love him and others. That's my job. Well, how am I ever going to get what? God is the one who gives you power to get wealth. God is the one who raises up kings and puts them down. Your job is to do what you're supposed to do as a Christian should do it. Now, how do you do that? And we'll go back to the filling of the Spirit we've been talking about on Sunday morning. We'll come back and talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But that's the showing of God. Listen, love like this is not natural. It's love like this is supernatural. This love is a sign that God is on us. Love is a sign that we have put away childish things, he says here. Love is the bond of perfectness. It's a mark of maturity in the Christian walk. You get your kids at the table and they all want to eat at the same time. But mama sometimes doesn't eat until everybody else is done. Why? Because she's mama. But secondly, because she's matured. Now, what if Juliet, who just had her second birthday, said, well, mommy, you sit down and eat, and daddy and Alice, and I'll make sure you all have something to eat, and then I'll eat. You say, well, didn't she become the little lady? The bond of maturity. Have you grown up? I'll tell whether we've grown up. Is it me first or others first? That's when we know we've grown up. That's when we know we've actually matured in the Holy Spirit. Once we're saved and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, love is in us and should be manifested through us to others. We're not going to get done. Tell you what I want to do. I'm going to stop right there. Let me give those three points. The gifts are signs of the presence of God. Right? Two, we all don't have the same gifts. We're not supposed to have the same gifts. He manifests himself in many different ways. And three, those signs and wonders are all fine if that's what God needs at the time. But the best way, the best sign of God's power in your life, as corny as it sounds, is love. The love that's in 1 Corinthians 13. Let me say this. We'll work on this some more because I want to walk through that a little bit next week. Love is not like. Like is different than love. Love is not like on steroids. I like him a lot. I think we're in love. That's not what love is. That's infatuation. That's I really like him. Now, the fact is, you ought to marry somebody you like. But the fact is, you better go past liking the person to loving the person if the marriage is going to last and be happy. Love puts you second, puts the other person first. You want folks to see love? Is there somebody that I just wish that person would get saved? It wouldn't make my life would make my life a whole lot easier. That person just got saved. Where does it work? Wherever it is, I'll tell you what you need to do. First of all, God does the saving. So what you need to do is draw them nigh to God. Well, how do you draw them nigh to God? Lift up Jesus. Well, how do you lift up Jesus? Let him see him. Well, how do you let him see him? Love him. So, well, that's not very quick. I want to fix now. They have to decide to get saved. So God has a work on their heart. And by the way, chances, most of us did not get saved just like that. In fact, a lot of us who were saved as kids, and we understood the story, but then we turned about 12 or 13, 14 years old, we thought, you know what? I'm going to do this again because I really understand what I'm talking about. I didn't want to go to hell before, but now I really realize all that he did for me. It's not unusual. So that person giving you trouble, love them. Love them, love them. Well, then they got away with it. How many here that are saved are going to hell? None of you. You know why? You got away with it. Because he died and paid for your sins. That's not right. No, it's not. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. It didn't say, not by works of righteousness, but according to his admiration of me. Not by works of righteousness, but according to the fact that I'm just so irresistible. Not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy. Let all bitterness, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He forgave us by his mercy. We didn't deserve one iota. And that person that you're going to love doesn't deserve one iota of your forgiveness. That's when you give it. Please. You say, well, they'll just take advantage of them. How many have taken advantage of God's forgiveness? He'll forgive me. Let him see Christ. The ultimate sign of God's presence is the love of God. We'll work on that a little bit more next week. Father, again, thank you. I don't want to labor this and belabor it, but Lord, we need to understand this. Thank you so much for your love. May we live and love in your power as well. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Piano organ's going to play.